Well, I think we have to start from a point of knowing our story and knowing our history.
My family did not understand the education system. They knew they wanted better for their children, but they just didn't know how.
My parents are third grade education from Mexico. You know, they're immigrants. My dad knew how to speak, read, and write Spanish fluently. He was actually better than my mom. My mom learned how to read not that long ago. But some of these parents remind me of my parents.
My mom was a single teen mom. My dad's been incarcerated and a drug addict my entire life. Neither of them were able to finish high school, and I have 4 degrees, and I'm a published author. So my life has been about breaking generational curses.
How do you help that parent or those parents or those guardians that are uneducated? What can the district do to help them be a better parent? To help them understand how important education is.
And I meet parents in this district all the time that I think have way more inspiring stories. So when people say, like, how do you overcome that? I mean, I know that it can be done. I did it. I know that it can be done. My superintendent did it. I know that it can be done. I meet parents with the grit and the tenacity and the deep love for their community and their children that I know can do exactly what we did.
When they're able to participate in something like this, it boosts their self-esteem and it makes them push their kids for more.
Things aren't working for very specific populations of students in our school system and in systems across the state of California. The only way to transform those is to truly sit down and listen to understand and develop action plans to prioritize next steps to better meet the needs of those students. And we can't do that work without our parents.
It means a whole lot. The pathway I took was family stressed to family blessed.
Welcome to Rising from the Margins, Episode 8, Chapter 5, Part 2, Bakersfield City School District in Bakersfield, California. I'm your host, Byron Watkins. In our last episode, we learned all about CEI, the Community Engagement Initiative, and the necessity of this work when it comes to changing our schools and communities. As Antonia Serrano of the Bakersfield City Family and Community Engagement Team told us, it's all about
relationships, relationships, relationship.
Without it, there is no CEI. Building relationships is the ground from which this work unfolds. Now, you're going to hear the stories of change and new meanings that are literally unfolding every day in Bakersfield because of CEI, the hard work of the FACE team, and the deep commitment of the district staff and its board members. This is going to be a very emotional episode. It will be hard not to be inspired by what is shared. But I'll also warn you that the subtext of this episode is a difficult one. Because when you listen to what is truly being shared, it becomes necessary for us to examine our own ideas. Ideas about how each of us, individually, are an impediment to this type of fundamental change. How each of us are the only block to creating meaning in ours and other people's lives. Our old ideas, old opinions, tacit assumptions baked into our conditioning and programming from years and years of just information overload and political arguments, ideas about other cultures, ideas about different skin colors, ideas about language barriers, ideas about who is smart and who is dumb, ideas about who is responsible for what needs to be done to change what is right in front of me. We are the ones who create the spaces for meaning to unfold, not only in our lives, but in others' lives. To be truly in relationship, relationship, relationship requires something of me and something of you. By the end of this episode, I hope you'll start to see the potential for how changing our ideas about what it means to pursue relationship through our school systems, what is necessary to create the spaces for new meanings to unfold, how it could change our communities in ways that prior may have seemed completely impossible. It's not possible. No, it's necessary. Once again, here's District Superintendent Mark Luque.
Some kids need a lot of support, and some parents need a lot of support. But we have the resources to provide those supports, so why wouldn't we do it? Again, we're building the future of our community, the future leaders. Segueing to the portrait of a graduate, all children ready to be successful in high school. Why wouldn't we want to bring the entire army together of the community to invest in our kids to make their experience better, make their learning better, better prepared for high school? We all win with that idea.
The commitment to share the space is requiring a shift, really a shift from when we say I'm a servant leader to I'm actually a leader that's here to help develop.
That's the voice of the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence's Deputy Executive Director, Chris Hartley. Chris comes with over 30 years in education and has been an integral piece for CCEE, moving the community engagement work forward.
I'm moving away from compliance-driven work, like this is the way that it's always been done, to really committing to, well, learning and outcomes drive our decision-making. A system that's not just singularly focused, like we serve the community and you, but you come to us in the way that we want you to come, that is truly looking at the capacity of both, dual capacity, like community and schools. And schools really owning up to the fact that family engagement is one of the strongest predictors of child success in schools.
It's about ensuring that we're dealing with their traumas. It's about ensuring that they're fed.
This is Kelly Michaud, principal of McKinley Elementary, with about 640 students, 98% of which are considered socioeconomically disadvantaged within this community.
We feed our students from the morning, from 7:30 to 8, they have breakfast. We do a second chance breakfast. So at their morning recess, this is something new we brought in. We have 350 students daily taking advantage of that. Then lunch, snack, and supper. So all of those needs are being met so that they can be successful.
It's really a change in mindsets from definitely, I know when I started as an educator and when I attended school, it was like, you know, family, you do your stuff. Schools will do our stuff. We have some areas we come across, but really it's up to you to get your kid here ready to go. You know, some people might sarcastically have said in the past, well, gosh, you know, educators have become the surrogate parent. This framework would say, yeah, our role is to be an equal partner and to provide whatever the child needs to be successful. And it's up to us to lead the way for that. And how do we meet them where they're at so that we can be a partnership school?
We do laundry here. We have two laundry facilities set up because we know students can't learn if their clothes aren't clean. They're not comfortable. They're inhibited by their learning. How do we solve that? Because many of our students live in motels. We put in laundry facilities, and we do the laundry for them. It's such a huge responsibility, but it's our responsibility.
So one of the models talks about a shift from schools being on one end a fortress school to on the other end of the spectrum, truly a partnership school.
This concept of a fortress school is really interesting because if Chris, a 30-year veteran in education, could acknowledge this fact that some schools have felt like fortresses, just imagine those outcomes. Who would want to go to that school, parent or child?
There's a lot of guards up when you're dealing with people who, in a neighborhood who maybe has seen a lot of shift in administration, or there was COVID, been so many things that have occurred that it takes time to build that trust.
Here's Chris Cruz Boone, president of Bakersfield City School District. She's also a published author, but more importantly, she's a local mom.
There's a lot more generational trauma and mistrust of the educational system for people who have lived here for generations because their parents may have been put on the short bus, or they were treated differently because they were Black, or they were put in a special ed class because they didn't speak English well enough.
We have parents that see our administrators as authority, and they will not reach out. They rather just not participate.
This is Laura Guerrero Salvado. She's one of the newer BCSD board members. With young children in the district, she is one of the more outspoken board members that is looking for real change to be made within the district.
We have parents that are barely coming out of their eggshell, you can say. And we have our first set of parents that's actually in our current, in the Kern High School District. And now the Kern High School District is looking back and saying, hey, what did you guys do to these parents? Because they never in their history have had parents advocate for their kids.
But then once you are able to partner, the sky is the limit in terms of what we can do.
And this is why a partnership school with a revolving front door and inviting atmosphere where parents and students know they are fully supported is generating better results.
What I'm seeing is that our parents are more comfortable, you know, in working with us. They're better equipped to hear messages at, you know, because in the past they would, it would be like a battle, not agreeing to what we have to say. They don't always agree with what we have to say or decisions being made, but they understand. They understand the value of what we're doing and understand that we work together.
There's no debate that people aren't doing things. Everybody's doing lots of things. Are you doing the right things to get where you want to go? And CEI is about, if you want to do the right things around family engagement, there's support, there's universal tools that are easily understood and can be implemented, there's peer contact, there's research behind it. I don't think there's an educator I've ever interacted with that doesn't think family engagement's important.
Here's Jefferson Elementary's principal, Anna Rivera, and the school's face rep, Christine Campus, together in conversation.
It's different. It's it's from your heart. That's how she said it.
That's why we're tired, because it is from our heart.
It is. It is.
It's super hard, and you have to start with some cognition and your values and your beliefs, like starting there with your teams around why this work is important. What's our cognition? What's our understanding about it?
Telling those stories and living that mission, it's just who we are as a district.
And I'm seeing more and more of the people getting involved and being part of and knowing that they're part of the success of our students, regardless if they're parents or community members, just because we work hand in hand with one another.
Those little wins where they can feel success in the classroom lead to that belief in themselves and the empowerment to do better and go beyond what this neighborhood has said for so long, that this is it for them. Because the gangs are waiting. What are we gonna do about it? If you spend some time driving through the mile and a half radius where our children reside, for a walking school, you will see gangs and violence and drugs. You will see lots of crime. And so we are really working to change that, because we believe it doesn't start here, but it starts from the home and on their way to school and the community, the surrounding community. So we have involved the community in events like our Walk to School event, where we have community leaders and liaisons, fraternities, sororities join us to walk our children to school to show them that they are not alone in their education, that they have not only their teachers and staff here, but a greater community around them that supports them and believes in them.
Once again, from part one of Bakersfield City, FACE coordinator Dee Dee Harrison.
What I think hit me the most was finding out when you listen to parents and they tell you their personal stories and you find out this human side to the families that are, our kids are coming to us, you know, every morning. We don't know what their morning looks like, but we also don't know what their home life is like. But then working in this field, I have come to hear from families about the difference we're making.
Building the relationship is the most important aspect of this all. You don't have that.
Can't get anywhere.
They won't work for you. Mm-hmm. You gotta let them trust you.
Empowered a parent to understand that they have worth, that they are their child's first teacher. And what we're offering them is the chance and the ability to just heighten and strengthen what they already know, but they have been so shut down to believe that they know as much as the teacher or could be effective and helpful for their student.
The school site is the hub for so many communities. It is the constant, the core, the connector for families looking for additional help. The school holds so much power, and when equipped to meaningfully engage with folks, we can, in fact, radically change our surrounding community.
Because they have that support that extends beyond, you know, our 180 days here at school. Throughout the summer, they know about the resources, they know where to go for extended help, for tutoring, for support, even needs, greater needs than just academics. Our CAP-K program here on our campus, where families can get assistance anywhere from getting their water bill paid to finding housing. Just today as dismissal, I had a grandfather, and this is where I start to feel like, okay, this is great. I had a grandfather approach me. He's like, Mrs. Michaud, I've got to get out of this motel. Will you help me? His wife is in the hospital right now, and I said, how's she doing? And he just said, you know, she's doing okay, but we have a problem. We've got to get out of where we are. I can't bring her home from the hospital like this. Absolutely, sir. We have those resources. So guess what I'm doing first thing in the morning? I'm calling our behavior and social worker. We have a full-time social worker here on site. We have our CAP-K person. We're going to get them some housing because we have those resources. But it's them being willing to ask. And so today was a big win for me because this grandparent was able to come to me and ask. And I thought that it took a lot of courage, and I'm going to see it through.
Wow. Pretty powerful stuff, right? That is what we call community.
They don't just come through our front door. We go through theirs, to theirs as well. Not through their front doors, but we get to their porch or their door. So they know that if they don't come to us, we will come to them as well. I don't know how many home visits this woman does on a daily basis when it's something crucial to chronic absenteeism. We do visits on a daily, weekly basis when a child misses more than two days of school, because we don't want them to be chronic. So they know that we will get them involved one way or the other, and that's where they see that we care. And once they know that we care, they start caring and they call us, hey, you know, my child doesn't want to come to school. I'm gonna put the phone in his ear so you can talk to them. And we talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
So
we get them out of the trees when they're in their pajamas and don't want to come. We've done it all. It's just not a flyer. It's just not a phone call. We get out there and we knock on those doors. And that's how we find out, how can we support you? Like, we've done their laundry, food. When you build that relationship, they'll come back. Like, you feed them, their kids perform, they come.
When I started 3 years ago, we were sitting at a 49% chronic absenteeism rate. 49% of our students. We've been able to drop that in half.
I know we reduced our chronic absenteeism from last year to this year, I was just looking at data, 26%.
The consistency of this message, that we expect all kids to be at school, has significantly helped us to reduce that rate. And we're down again by another, I think, 10 or 11% improvement.
Our students walk themselves here. So as they come through the gate, they know the experience they're going to get here is one where they are going to feel loved. They're going to feel success. They're going to work through their traumas. And they're going to get their whole education, the whole child, is taken into consideration.
How do you find the metrics for parent engagement? How do you know if it's effective? How do you know if what you're doing in your work is making a difference for these kids? It does raise our students' levels of engagement and attendance and behavior and everything that it all entails.
Even at the school, if I ever needed anything, I could call the FACE and be like, you know what? I don't have food. I don't have this, or I need this, or I need that. So I know that this is a good program.
That is mother of five, Celia, who tells her story of how getting involved, becoming a PAL ambassador, and the numerous ways she's been engaged by the school and parents.
I was depressed. I didn't want to get out of bed in the mornings. I would just drop off my kids and I would go straight back to bed. Even though I had the three-year-old all up on me, I wouldn't want to get up. You know, I was just staying there, just thinking about what I was going through and not what I needed to come out from. And, you know, it was really good to come and be able to have that support, because I did have support back, like, you know, I have my family as well, but being able to, you know, talk to other people and tell somebody else how you feel, it's a little more than just your own family. You have extra people to count on. It was just that, being able to come to the center, and I wanted to get more involved. You know, I became part of School Site Council. I became part of PTA because I wanted my kids to know that I was here. I wanted my kids to know that I was behind them, like 100%, 1,000%. And being able to be in this campus, being able to walk and go to my kids' class and just drop something off, regardless if I didn't get to see them, my son would be like, they told me you were in my classroom today, what happened? I'm like, well, I was just there to drop something off. You know, so I think that's what helped me more, because it was motivating my kids to do better. So my kids got better grades. My kids were not getting in trouble in school.
I think it's really important that we stop here and see that this isn't just as simple as a parent suddenly getting involved. What this was is the school creating the opportunities, creating the space for this meaning to unfold, and actively pursuing a relationship with Celia. She said to me that she got asked over and over and over to join the Parent Resource Center by the parents in the program. They kept pursuing her, and that she kept saying no. They didn't just give up on creating a relationship with her. And now it's changed her life.
So I met my best friend there, well, two of my best friends there, and all the other ladies that were, like, great. They were my other family. It was really good to come and be able to have that support.
This was the school and the parents creating the meaning. This is the same thing that happened with the principal and the grandfather who needed housing. She was out at school pickup every day, out there speaking to him and other parents, building trust, unfolding relationship. We create the space for meaning to unfold. The school and the other parents are the catalyst for it to happen.
We've become not just parents, not just a community, but family. It's we support each other, and language barrier has not come in between it. I have Miss Griselda here. She may not know English, but the energy, the love, the support that these families come together and give, language means nothing. We're one.
I also sat with a group of parents and grandparents who are all involved in some way through the school's Parent Resource Center.
El significado de estar con Miss Yareli me ha ayudado mucho a desarrollarme a mí misma. Era más tímida, educar a mi hijo y salir adelante. Y mi autoestima está un poquito más arriba que abajo porque me sentía esto.
Makes me want to cry. This is why I do what I do. It's rewarding. It's a blessing. I love what I do.
Spanish translation. The meaning of this has already helped me to develop myself. I was more timid raising my son, and now my self-esteem is higher because I felt this. Again, this is a space being created and the new meaning unfolding. Her life changed forever.
In our parent center, we're kind of unique in a way. We not only are taking parenting classes to improve our parenting, but she also provides for our mental health, our physical health through nutrition and through exercise classes. Yes, and then the opportunities for us to get in there with our kids and do different projects. Also, we've talked to our trauma. We've learned about love languages for children. I mean, and all of these things come together, and it helps us to be better parents and helps our children to be better, citizens in the world, you know, because they're going to be more well-rounded and more able to get out there and communicate and function in the world.
There are many levels to the community engagement work. If CEI is the overarching umbrella, the family and community engagement team at each school then would fall within that. Parents as liaisons or PALs are part of that, as would the Parent Resource Center, where schools are offering parents these detailed workshops on things like nutrition, fitness, computer and tech support, parent education, and a multitude of other resources.
Because as kids, we do emulate and watch everything our parents do. And stop for a moment and think about, if none of those programs existed, what is the moment the children are seeing and emulating in their parents' lives? I mean, what is that moment of pride that they're going to be emulating? It's going to be a really limited range of options. But now we gave them this positive one. And you're right, that could change everything.
But what really excited me is how transformational the district's parent university is.
We do something called Parent University.
Parents are showing up on weekends to go back to school.
Then we provide different trainings for these 8 long Saturdays.
Parents are putting in the work, taking classes to be, well, simply put, better individuals.
And it's helping our community grow in a positive way.
Again, the school creating the space for new meanings to unfold.
My kids enjoy Parent University. My kids want to be at Parent University.
And I know that through Parent University, I promised my daughter I would continue to go and grow as a parent as long as she continued to try her hardest at school, and it has made a difference.
And after the course is over, they put on an actual graduation for the parents. The district rents out a large hall. Everyone gets dressed up in their Sunday's best, and they celebrate the parents and their accomplishments.
I'm a college professor. I've gone to a lot of graduations over the last 20 years. Nothing is cooler than our Parent University graduation. They wear gowns, their families all come and cheer them on, they walk across the stage.
And it's not just standing room only. They told me that they have had to rent larger and larger halls each time to accommodate all of the community that keeps wanting to come, to the point that they're still having to turn people away. This is incredible. Just think, this kind of community is not happening at all unless the school creates the space for it to happen. More meaning unfolding.
And what is that if not community engagement? Having a room where there's so many people, there's standing room only. And it's such a big moment for them, right? And so we don't just provide opportunities, but we also celebrate moments for our parents. We celebrate our kids every day in the classroom in every way that we can, but it's okay to celebrate their parents who are trying to be better for them and break generational curses. Like, that is a fight worth celebrating.
That tells us that we're important as well.
I cannot even wear eye makeup because I just cry like the whole time because it's so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, this is their moment. They're so, so intense about it. It's just magic.
What is the change in meaning that then unfolds between a parent who graduates and takes that feeling of accomplishment and then inspires their own child with it? Or how does the third grader watching their mother walk across the stage at graduation unfold a meaning in them that makes them want to graduate too? We can't fully know. It has potentially endless ripples, all because the school created the space for this meaning to unfold. And so, if it's true that we want to improve student outcomes, Parent University is helping solve that equation.
It's not only about the kids. You know, we have part of it because if we're not emotionally and physically there, our kids are not going to be either. I know that that's the fact with my kids. If I'm not there behind them 24/7, I mean, they're not going to want to be here at school. So it's just mainly, it's more of like teaching them how it's better to be at school than to be out and about in the streets.
The school district has so much power and so much influence on the outcome of that community.
Once again, Laura Guerrero Soldado. I wanted to take some time for her to tell her rather unique story of how she became a BCSD board member. And she tells it well.
I was being given the cold shoulder in the front office. I was still hearing the, do you have an appointment crap? And, oh, I'm sorry. One of the parents says, let's go to Parent University. And I said, for what? What do they know about what we need? Right? And she said, well, they'll watch the kids. And I'm thinking, oh, I do need a break. This is probably my only break. So we had a strong, solid group of 27 moms. I remember that year. 27 moms. And we were watching out for each other. And all these moms could not work. And they were involved at a school site. Why? Because they don't have papers, papeles para trabajar. And we were Parent University graduation. And I see our superintendent, our previous superintendent, in the parking lot. So I see him standing there with this guy in a suit. have no idea who he is. I don't understand the district. All I know is the superintendent is a boss. And I was like, hey, Mr. Irwin, you got a minute? He says, hey, what's going on? He tells the gentleman to hold on. And I was like, Juana and Lupe, and I'm telling them everybody wants to say thank you for this. You know, this is something. They all picked up something. One of them is going to go to school for English. One of them is going to try working on her GED. She didn't realize she can get her GED, even though she's undocumented. So I'm like just translating everything they're saying. And then I started asking him questions about the schools in Area 4, which is the east side, right? And he's all like, well, I got to talk to our board members. And I said, and who's the idiot that represents that area anyways? He said, oh, that would be this guy right here. And I just, you know, there's a saying, trágame tierra, eat me dirt. And I said, I apologize. I said, I don't know what your deal is, sir, but if you want to understand and you want to make this side of town a little better, you need to focus on these families and start supporting them. How do you expect them to educate their kids if themselves they're not educated? For some of these people, this is their first certificate they get. They don't understand that. And I said, okay, I'm going to try something different. I started participating.
Participation turned into Laura doing research on the district and how to affect change. So once a board seat finally became available, with the support of her friends and community who were really counting on Laura to be their voice, she was appointed to the BCSD board, representing her neighborhood in Area 4.
I will apologize to Mr. Luque because sometimes I can come off really bad, but it's because of the frustration, because we have administration here that decide to do certain things a certain way. And my thing, in one of my meltdowns, blow-ups, was, well, what do you guys know? Do your kids even attend our district? And I think that was really cold for me to say that. But again, it's how do you make decisions for our students when your own children don't attend our district?
It's clear to me that this type of work, the work that combines resources for the community with real relationship, not dividing people by old ideas and tacit assumptions, but burning down the fortress school mentality, breaking down our personal walls that keep us separated from people and inviting folks into our space. It can and will create meaning that changes not only the lives of the students, but the entire community that a school serves.
It's just food for my soul to do what I do.
It's very vital. You know, it's just like the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. It takes our community to raise the child. And if one aspect of that is missing, and that one component, one element, there's going to be a lot of barriers for our students to be successful. I always say, we all have a puzzle piece to make that puzzle complete. And if that aspect of it is missing, that puzzle's not complete.
We hear from parents when their children's needs are not being met or when we do something that they disagree with. If we tried to take away their family and community engagement liaisons, they would storm the gates. The rage that would occur, I cannot even describe to you how angry they would be.
I see a goodness coming out of this in all directions, flowing out to the community.
It's okay to come from a broken home. It's okay to live in the east side, you know? It's okay to not live in a country club, but you make the best of it by being involved in it, getting educated.
The work just starts and just begins to happen, and doors open, but it's the commitment that you make to a community that we want to serve to ultimately change our city, to bring forth the next doctors and lawyers and teachers and politicians from this area, because we truly believe we can do that.
I want to see more of it in our schools. We need more parent involvement in our schools, you know? We can't, you know, it shouldn't stop here. It should progress even further and deeper into the schools.
I try to start there. If you start with love, if you start with trust, you build from there. And we're building, we're moving in the right direction,
It's that relationship we have. That and they know that it just doesn't start at the front office. It's beyond that. It's as we stated, it's the community. And it's not just being involved at the school, but they're now becoming productive citizens as what they wanted. And I have to thank my face for that, because she's done a lot of that behind the scene work on making sure they went to the parent university to get classes that they needed, making sure they taught them how to fill out applications, how to go into interviews. And so I would have to say in the 3 years that I've been there, it's about, what, 5 to 6 parents that I know are now working parents. But they're also very involved in the evenings with us as well. And it's still that community working together.
We're tracking right now, BCSD, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, the School to Prison Pipeline, and one of their, you know, anchoring points is looking at BCSD and how many kids that went through our system are now in prison. And I think we're going to see a trend over time where there has been a dramatic reduction because we caught those kids. So that is a quantifiable number that I think over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we will have staunched that school to prison pipeline or blown it apart with programs like this. I think it will be quantifiable.
Like, just if you think back 6 years, if you had stayed in that depression and didn't have a space to put it and really that outlet to change, to put it into that place to overcome it, you know, where would you be now, right?
In bed. In bed, really. But we want to see our kids succeed. We want to see our kids be able to go to college. We want to see our kids to do much better than what we did. And that is why I come to the center, because my mother didn't have the time. Even my mom being a stay-at-home mom, she didn't have the time. Or she didn't want to make the time. And the fact that I was going the same way, I had to break that chain. I had to, like, literally not be in the same pattern, because I didn't graduate from high school. I didn't. And so the fact that I'm like, okay, I want my kids to graduate. So what is going to be that change? Me being able to participate. Me being able to be there for them.
I've seen guys, honestly, that lived in the same neighborhood and area and actually shake hands. Families that have not gotten along, and now for whatever reason, when they signed up for their classes, they're in that same classroom and they're participating and they're sharing their story, and they come to realize they have the same issues. It wasn't that one of them was better than the other. It's we had the same, we faced the same challenges. You know, as a board member and as a parent, I will keep supporting this, because I see something that he will not see. I see something that our teachers will not see. I see relationships and community getting built.
We lost one of our parents just a week and a half ago from a drive-by shooting. So it's real, it's there, and our children, despite that, they came to school the next day and tried to learn. What does that tell you about a school? Like, we are their safe haven.
We are their safe haven. Paulo Freire wrote in his 1968 book on education, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, quote, "When education is not liberating, the dream of the oppressed is to become the oppressor." So that poses the question, well, what is necessary to create an education that is liberating? CEI would say the answer is
relationships.
Establishing those relationships.
You build that relationship.
Relationship.
Do I want to be a fortress, or do I want to be in partnership? I am the only block to creating relationships, because I create the space for new meanings to unfold. If we want to change our nation, we have to change our states. If we want to change our states, we have to change our cities. If we want to change our cities, we have to change our communities. And if we want to change our communities, we have to change ourselves. The paradox of our systems is that they are really good at obscuring the fact that we, just us everyday people, can actually have an effect on changing our systems. Thank you for listening. This series was brought to you by CCEE, the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, whose mission is to help transform public education so that every student is left inspired and prepared to thrive as their best self in the world. If you would like to know more about CCEE, log on to ccee-ca.org. Rising from the Margins was written and produced by Winsong Productions, with additional production support by Parsec Education. And stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be near the California-Nevada border, learning more about how CEI is transforming the Tahoe-Truckee Unified School District.
The one thing that I say was heart, and I mean it, heart work, not hard work, has been CEI.
That's next time on Rising from the Margins.